In this episode of the Arabic with Sam podcast, I'd like to talk to you about a way that you can learn any language in around 9 months. This is a hypothesis that I have for a strategy that you can use for learning the Arabic language, which is in three steps, kind of three steps to learning any language in 9 months, inshallah. I've been observing ways that people have been learning languages in lots of different industries, not only the Arabic language one, particularly for learning Japanese, particularly through for learning English maybe as well. And I've come up with some ideas, and I want to kind of put this framework out there as a language learning framework for the perspective of the student, because I spend a lot of my time thinking from the perspective of the teacher in terms of the resources that we're creating, the student experience, going through our programs and things like that, and even my engagement with the students inside of our Academy Arabic Unlocked as well. But I've been thinking about this sort of framework that I could give to the students for you to base your language learning upon. So, as I say, there are three steps that we'll go through. Each step is around 3 months. I think 3 months is sufficient for each step if done properly. You don't necessarily have to start from step one. In fact, lots of people who are listening to this podcast who are student Arabic students of mine, you're probably not complete beginners. You may be in a position to come in at step two. But generally speaking, you need to do the three steps. And I would say that although you don't need to always start at the beginning, I would advise not doing more than one language at a time at the same step. Like, for example, if you're on step three with Arabic, I don't mind you coming at step two with Urdu and being on step one with Spanish, right? But I don't want you to have two languages in one step at the same time. So what is this? Okay, let me go through these three steps for you, inshallah. As I say, each one is about 3 months. And I'm kind of coining this hypothesis, this structure at the moment, as the archer method, because there's three movements to it, much like if an archer was to draw a bow, release the arrow, and then let the arrow stick in the target. And that's kind of the metaphor for the approach. So let's start with drawing the arrow, okay? This part, okay, is people often make the mistake of thinking that the whole Arabic language journey is only this, okay? This is one rule, right? There's one thing you've got to do here. Complete an entire program or book. So literally, if you were to go onto Amazon and type in Norwegian course, the Norwegian course it gives you, that's the sort of thing I'm talking about. For Arabic, doing Quranic Arabic Unlocked, the Arabic Unlocked, or going onto Amazon and buying colloquial Arabic, or whatever fits best for you and your goals, then that's what I'm talking about. Okay, so, and the reason why I call this drawing the arrow is because when you draw the arrow actually gets further away from the target than where it started. You're drawing it backwards. And, we can kind of think, we can use an analogy to explain why this is actually this is a part of an effective journey. Let's say, for example, if you want to go to Mecca and do Umrah and you live in Kent. Let's say that, for example. Okay, if we were to observe the map of someone living in Kent in the UK doing Umrah, you would see that person move further away from Mecca for 4 hours on their way to Heathrow Airport. And then, bam, you'd see them fly over, right, all the way to Jeddah, which is still not Mecca. And then at the end, you'd see them land. And then there'd be this other really slow journey, getting in a taxi from Mecca and from Jeddah, getting to Mecca. And, when we think about our learning experience, you might be tempted to think, oh, he's doing the wrong thing. He's going backwards, going the wrong direction, right? But actually, that is an important part of the most effective travel. Whereas a lot of the time, when that happens in a student's learning process, we think they're doing something wrong. But no, they actually, that person going from Kent to Mecca goes much faster that way because they went in another direction for a while, and then they went really quickly. And that's much what it's like. And to build on the metaphor a little bit more as well, when you're drawing the arrow, you need to be comfortable with the arrow not getting any closer to the target, not necessarily even being on target, because that's what it can feel like sometimes when you're going through a whole program and you're really laying your foundations, you're learning bits of vocab, you're learning grammar and structure. You feel like you're actually not getting any closer to the target sometimes. Sometimes you feel like it's all a bit hypothetical, it's all a bit theoretical, it's all a little bit abstract sometimes. But we need to kind of have a framework to think that that is okay. That is you going from Kent away from Mecca to Heathrow. That's you drawing the arrow back the same way that an archer does. Okay, So this is the idea of building foundations, right? Without the pressure of the arrow being on target yet, because you haven't even released it yet, right? That is the process of you building a bank of vocab. That's you building a bank of grammar. That's you building some confidence. That's you, you know, as I say, laying foundations for your complete knowledge of whatever language is going to be. But do you see what I mean when I say that? Most people think that that is the entire learning experience, right? Most people think they'll go and do one course and that'll be the whole learning experience, whereas I'm describing it as only pulling back the arrow. That's all it is in the whole Archer process. Okay, what about the second part? Release it and let it fly. What this means is letting your arrow go through the air and you... At this point, like, you've kind of done the hard work. You've done the hard work of pulling it back, right? And now it's about watching in two ways, watching your arrow fly, but also literally watching loads of content in that language. So I've gone down this rabbit hole of people who have become fluent in Japanese through watching anime, right? And I found these three videos in particular of individuals who are like Americans or they're from Britain or whatever. And they sometimes spent like 9-10 months watching content with no pressure to speak at all, no pressure to get grammar right, none of that at all. And they ended up being so familiar with words and sounds and sentence structure and pronunciation and intonation that they started to just be able to say the things they've heard characters saying for months. It's so fascinating hearing the things that they were saying because many of them report being happy to not understand anything for weeks, right? Whereas like most of us, we don't understand where these feelings should go in our journey, right? And we think, okay, if we watch a video and it's not immediately constructive, then we're doing something wrong. Whereas, like, it's really important to do this. So the conditions of this step are that you change all of the content that you consume into your target language, right? Well, whatever it is that you're studying. So any content that you consume for entertainment, it needs to change into the language that you're actually learning. And I've put down here that it should be at least 20 minutes a day, should be focused. Lots of it won't be focused, which is fine, right? It might be a podcast about something you don't even understand. It's fine if the first month you don't really understand anything, right? It's just sounds going in. Like, that all seems to be part of the journey that lots of people have when they learn through so much listening. Like these individuals who learn to kind of speak, you know, fluent Japanese or whatever. But, I mean, there are many, many fluent English speakers who managed to achieve that purely through being exposed to so much spoken English. I remember when I was studying Spanish in Spain many, many years ago, I met some Germans who, their English was fantastic, as many other Northern Europeans are, particularly Scandinavians, actually. And Finnish people as well, who are not Scandinavians, apparently. These German guys said to me, they learn English through the film Saving Private Ryan. Like, they really just watched Saving Private Ryan so many times that they learn it. You know, they read the book as well. And they learn English through Saving Private Ryan, which I found was kind of fascinating, particularly for Germans, actually, as well, to get so much out of that, to want to watch that movie so much. Okay, so I've got a couple of tips, actually, for this stage. Right, so number one, create a new YouTube account with, you know, your usual email address plus X language, right? If you're my email address, Arabic with Sam. Like, if I did Arabic with Sam... let's say arabicwithsamurdu@gmail.com, then I create a new YouTube channel, and then all the content in there will be a source language, right? So when I'm consuming content passively or whatever, or I go on a run and I might have something playing in the background or whatever it might be, or I'm washing the dishes, well, whatever it is for you, right? Like, you log into that YouTube account and it will only show you content in that particular language. Something else you can do is, if you use a VPN, then change your VPN to a country where that language is spoken. So it will show you websites and content that's the language of that country, but even your ads will be in the language of that country, quite likely, right? So you'll end up having, you know, tons of exposure in that particular way. Something else to mention in step two is that this is also an exercise in personal development as well, because I know that we in the modern age quite often use content as an escape. We use it as like a numbing agent and a distraction from the things in our lives, and giving that up and making your content productive is really powerful, right? So lazy, lethargic, nonsense content no more, right? It will be constructive. It will be content that it's still lazy in a way, because you don't necessarily have to actively partake in it, but it will be helping you. You will be using the content and it will not be using you anymore. That's the idea of it. So Step one is draw the arrow. What that means is lay the foundations without the pressure of the arrow going straight, right? And understanding that it is just drawing the arrow. That's all it is. Second step, let the arrow fly and watch it, okay? Consume tons of content. Let all the work that you did when you were drawing the arrow, let that pay off as your arrow goes flying so far, right? Because you'll see, you know, it will be put into practice. You will see all the grammar and all the vocab that you spent maybe, let's say, 3 months learning in the next 3 months when you're just consuming content at that point. Okay, that should be really fun as well. You should really think about content that you really enjoy as well. I mean, for Somali, I get into like our, maybe like the Netflix equivalent that we have here in Somalia is called Astan TV. And they've got so many dramas and series and stuff that sometimes I get really invested in the storylines and everything. Some of them, they're really funny, some of them, but not meaning to be. Like, I watched one the other day and a character literally fell over on a banana peel. Like, I haven't seen that since Mario Kart. People actually using banana skins to make people fall over. But anyway, you get kind of caught up in their dramas and everything like that. And I actually really like watching the same ones again and again. Because sometimes I pick up on things I didn't really pick up on the first time. Or first time I listened to it, I wasn't even listening for 10% of it, 90% maybe. You know, and the second time I was listening in a different place or whatever. You know, so consuming content is a really big one. Most of us, including myself, we are not listening enough to the language that we're trying to learn. We're just not. And perhaps it can be done most powerfully on top of a whole bank of vocab and grammar that you've been building whilst you were drawing your arrow. And now the last bit is to leave it in the target forever. Leave it in the target brackets language, in the target language forever. So what this means is you need to become a person who's in the target language. In the target language, right? And this means making friends who speak that language and having speaking partners. But it's important that they're not your speaking partners. They're your friends who happen to speak another language. That's really important. That's a really important part of this, because it has to be the case that the pressure isn't really just on the language. So, and you actually enjoy this person's company. Good. So I would say finding these speaking partners in environments or around hobbies that you actually have as well. Like, if I lived anywhere else in the world, like if I lived in Morocco or in the UAE or something like that, like, I'd definitely do jiu-jitsu, and I'd meet people who spoke the local language at jiu-jitsu. And because I like jiu-jitsu and grappling, and I like the kinds of people who do grappling, particularly those who grapple in the gi, tend to be like nerds and people who are like interested in sort of different stuff to, you know, maybe people who don't grapple in the gi. We don't need to talk about grappling, obviously. It's not about grappling. It's about whatever your hobbies are, whatever you're interested in. It just so happens that they speak another language. You need to use that language in order to be friends with them. So I've used different groups and websites to find speaking partners since I was about 14, probably. And there's some things I've learned that don't work very well, and some things that I do just in the conversation. So one thing I'd say is always play down how much you've been studying. Like, if they ask you how long you've been learning for, you can say like a few months. Play it down, because if you tell them like I've been at this for 10 years, for a lot of people it can put on an amount of pressure, and you find yourself not relaxing with it. Like, you want to show that you're a person who's been learning for 10 years or whatever, you know. So, but really play down how much you've actually been learning. And then understand this. The skill of speaking is not an academic pursuit. It is a skill to be honed and practiced. And if you stop using it, you will lose it. When I first became interested in languages, I'm not from an academic background at all in my family. Right? My dad was a mechanic. My mum had a nursery. And in my family, I don't come from a family of lots of people who went to university or had a high level of education. And when I became interested in languages, everyone around me in my family believed that languages weren't academic. Like, they had the view that languages were vocational. And I still today, I find that so interesting, that my family around me, just looking at it as an outsider, they saw how practical languages were. They saw the skill of being able to speak a language as the same as knowing how to do bricklaying. They saw it as the same as being able to be a chef in a kitchen, you know. These are as practical as that. And I think it's kind of a shame that we've lost that. No, I'm not necessarily about saying that my family knew some ancient knowledge that we've lost now. I don't mean that. I mean, you know, in the world of languages learning, we tend to be really academic. We're really grammar and books focused, and people who tend to like languages also tend to like their own language, which means that they're often into literature and things like that. And until today, I find it really interesting that the people who didn't kind of have that input and that exposure, their default was to believe that languages were vocational. As I say, like being a hairdresser is skill-based rather than knowledge-based. And I think the skill of speaking especially is 100% that. It really is more like having the skill of cutting hair well. It's more like that than it is about being able to pass a physics exam. It's much more like that practical skill. But unfortunately, when we get deep into the trenches of high-level languages learning, particularly if you do a degree level or whatever like myself, you end up being kind of drawn down a very, very academic route, whereas we'd do well to remember that it's a skill like doing push-ups rather than an academic pursuit like learning a times table. Okay, that's it. So I just wanted to share with you a hypothesis in this episode of the podcast, really, and a framework for you as a student that you can implement, I suppose. So you can start off by doing some kind of course. And that isn't revolutionary, do a course. Okay, we all know that we need to do a course. But I'm saying give yourself 3 months of time to learn like vocab and grammar and do a structured course. Because as well, there's no pressure as well. There's no one like breathing down your neck about your progress. There's none of that. Like, you get a time to really learn how to ride a bike with stabilizers on for a while before you're sent off down the country lanes. Like, I think that that is really good for students. And the issue isn't with the programs. The issue is that students think the program is the whole solution, that you'll do a program and then you'll have reached your goal. But I'd like students to understand that that's really just drawing the arrow, okay, in the world of speaking. And then second step was letting the arrow go and watching it, which means watching 3 months of content in your whatever language you're learning, right? And that will take some exploring. You know, you might need to use some streaming services, whatever it is, Netflix or Amazon or wherever you guys or whatever country it is, you know, to actually get that content and take some time out for it as well. Don't think you just come across it by accident. Think about what genres you actually like and try to find equivalents in those languages. And that'll be very, very useful for you. Even start building a bank of them. Get a document on your phone or your computer or whatever and have just a list of links of movies and series and things and stuff that you like. Even go into your YouTube history and look at the kinds of content that you've been watching and then just search for the same stuff in whatever language you're learning, be it Arabic, hopefully, or whatever else. And then the third one is actually about finding people to leave your language skill in the target language. And that's not easy. I've been through loads of speaking partners, through loads of different languages, and most of them have not worked out. Most of them, I've not had enough in common with the person. So it is a volume game as well. And of the speaking partners that I have now for Arabic, most of them are just teachers that I've hired. But for me, that's because I like literature and stuff, and likely the people who are into that too are people in the education space. So that's the case for me, but I don't know, like languages and learning Arabic isn't just people like nerds like myself, you know, and people like me. It's, you know, if you're a builder, you know, mashallah, maybe you're a builder, you're a hardworking person, and you like building, you know, you're interested in construction, whatever else. Maybe you're, I don't know, whatever you are, maybe you're a hairdresser, I mentioned earlier. Maybe you're a hairdresser, you know. And if you're into that, you might be a hairdresser and you hate it, but if you're into it or whatever it is, literally whatever it is, there'll be the equivalent types of people that you like in whatever language that you're learning. So go out there and enjoy it. Test out my hypothesis, see if you think it's a good framework for learning a language. And as we will test it, inshallah, we'll get a feedback on it and see if it is the way to go. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu.